Now let's continue on in Exodus 16. And why is this so important? We'll see in just a little bit. Because this helps us to understand the difference in the evenings. Ba'erev on the one hand, and Bein Ha'arbim on the other hand. And this is doubly important because God is the one who's doing the speaking. So this shows us how God defined the time. So let's read it. Now let's pick it up here in verse 9. And Aaron, and Moses spoke unto Aaron, say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, when Aaron spoke, the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I've heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, and speak unto them, saying, now this is God speaking, at even you shall eat flesh. Now notice over here, it said, at even you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. Okay? The first one over here in verse 6 is Ba'erev, at sunset. Now he was speaking to them on the Sabbath, during the Sabbath day. Well, the day was coming, going to come to an end. Okay. Then he says here in verse 12, at even, now this is Bein Ha'arbim, different. You shall eat flesh, and in the morning, bokur, you shall eat bread. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Now notice verse 13. And it came to pass at even. Now see, at even. How are you going to know what it is with translated into King James? Okay? You won't. But at even, in verse 13, is Bein Ha'arbim. And it came to pass at even that quail came up and covered the camp. Now think about this. Why didn't God send the quail immediately during the daytime? Because he'd be breaking the Sabbath. And then when they went out to look for manna, how could he say, you're breaking the Sabbath? And they say, God, you're breaking your Sabbath. Okay. So, at even, the quail came up and covered the camp. Now, why cover the camp? So they wouldn't have to go out and look for them. Why? Because night was coming on, correct? So they covered the camp. And in the morning, the dew lay around the host. Okay? In the morning, he sent the manna to go all around the camp. Now why? You have to go out and work to get your food. Okay? Now, let's ask the question. He says, back here in verse 12, speak unto them saying, at even Ba'erev. Okay? No, at even Bein Ha'arbim. You shall eat flesh. In the morning, you shall be filled with bread. Okay, and it came to pass at Ba'erev, the quail came. All right, what do you have to do to quail before you eat them? They came on the camp, they had to kill them, they had to skin them, and they had their fires going. And quail, if you know, doesn't take very long to cook them. Okay, so Bein Ha'arbim, they would eat flesh. So before they could eat flesh at Ba'erev, God sent it. Now, let's read in the Faithful Version. Now, this is extremely important because this is where in the Bible it shows the difference between Ba'erev, sunset, and between the two evenings, okay? And it also shows here in Exodus 16. Let's pick it up here, okay? Now, here's how we translated it, verse 12. I heard the murmurings of the children of Israel speak to them, saying, between the two evenings you shall eat flesh. Bein harbaim. In order for you to eat flesh, the quail have to come, drop down the camp, you have to kill them, clean them, and roast them. Okay?
Before dark.
Before dark. Yeah. And the only light you would have would be the campfires. Okay? You shall eat flesh, and in the morning, bokur, you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass at sunset, what does sunset do? End the day. So he sent the quail at sunset, came up and covered the camp, and at sunrise, dew lay all around. Now, what did they have to do to get the manna? They had to get out there right early in the morning, because if they didn't, when the sun came up, it evaporated. Gone. Okay? So what does this tell us? This tells us God's use of the two terms evening in the King James, properly translated, means sunset, ending the day. Bein ha'arbaim begins the next day. Now, when I was coming back from Daytona Beach, we were flying from the east to the west. I could look out the window and see the sun setting. And I could look right where the sun was setting, it was light. And I could look and see it gradually getting darker, because we're up at 35,000 feet. Okay. And what happens is this. Between the two evenings is a description of time between sunset and dark. And just like there's sunrise and sunset, there's between the two evenings. Now, what do you have in the morning before the sun rises? You have the opposite. Okay? You have the dark fading and the sun coming up. Okay? Those are happening all the time, everywhere on the earth. So God shows here that sunset takes place before, between the two evenings. And between the two evenings is after sunset until dark. Now, when I was writing this for the first edition of the Passover book, I was with Jim Alexander and his wife, and we were in San Antonio. And they have a 400-foot tower with a restaurant on top. So we decided to go eat there. Now, in Texas, it's all flat there. So we went up in the evening and sat down, and it was one of those rotaries as it's going around slowly, okay? We could look out and see sunset. So we took the time when sunset, when the sun went down, and then we watched it for Bein Ha'arba'im from then until dark. And guess how long that period of time was? An hour and 15 minutes. Okay? That's plenty of time to get the quail, kill them, skin them, clean them, roast them, and eat them. And God said, Bein ha'arba'im, between the two evenings, you shall eat flesh. Well, you can't eat the flesh until it comes. Right? Even you understand it. 5 years old. Correct. That's good. Okay? Now then, let's come back to Exodus 12. Let's eliminate another problem right here. So Ba'erev, sunset, defines the ending of one day and the beginning of another, and the first element of time in the next day is Bein Ha'ar Ba'im, from sunset until dark. All right? Exodus 12. Okay? Verse 6, speaking of the lamb. You shall keep it up until the beginning of the 14th day of the same month, and all the assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it between the two evenings. Now, they all had their instructions. Moses gathered the elders together, gave them the instructions, and they all went out. They were told, don't go out of your house until morning. And that's Bokur, which means sunrise. Now, Graby and Kuhn said, well, morning can mean right after midnight because they calculated time then the same way we do today. Nonsense. Who can tell when midnight is in? You don't have watches. Okay? And what happened at midnight? God killed all the firstborn of the Egyptians, the man and beast and everything. Okay? And they were spared because they put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and on the lintel, right? So when did they kill the lamb? Right here. Okay? The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it between the two evenings, between sunset and dark. Well, in this case, I imagine it was this way. All their houses were in the land of Goshen. So they had particular ones on top of the houses doing what? What would you have them doing? Watching the sun go down. Okay? And as soon as the sun went down, now, Ba'er Erev is a space of time about 5 minutes. That's how long it takes for the sun to touch the horizon as you look at it. Really doesn't touch it, but appears to touch the horizon until the sun is down. So Ba'er Erev is that short period of time, about 5 minutes. Okay? Then begins Bein Ha'ar Ba'im. Okay? So they would kill it between the two evenings. Correct translation. They shall take the blood, strike the two side posts upon the upper door post of the houses that they are in. And then it says in the instructions, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until Bokur, sunrise. They couldn't leave at midnight. They left their houses in the morning, gathered at Ramses in their marching orders, and then they left Ramses the next night. Okay? Now, that's right. They could have been killed if they left shortly after midnight. How long did it take to kill the firstborn? Well, it may have come in waves through all of Egypt. So if they would have left, they could have been killed. They would have. Yeah. They're not under the blood. Okay. Now, let's come here to verse 17. You shall keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for in the very same day I have brought you armies out of the land of Egypt. Okay? When did the first day of Unleavened Bread begin? No, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Passover is an Unleavened Bread day separate, but the Feast of Unleavened Bread. When did the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread begin? Ba'erev, or sunset, of the 14th. That begins the 15th, right? Okay. And it says, we'll see in Leviticus 23 a little bit, the 15th day of the first month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That begins when? At sunset of the 14th. Now let's read on. You shall keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for in this very same day I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Did he bring them out of their houses on the Passover night? No. So they had to gather to Ramses, okay? Therefore, you shall keep this day in a generation by a law forever. In the first month, now Read it very carefully. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at sunset, Ba'erev, ending the 14th, beginning the 15th, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at sunset, ending the 21st day. Right? Okay. So you count. 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Okay? That's what it's showing. Now then, let's come here. Let's come here to see about the children of Israel. Okay. They came to Ramses. Let's come to verse 37. The children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. Now, that wasn't very far. The men being about 600,000 on foot, apart from the little ones. Also, a mixed multitude went up with them, and flocks and herds and very much cattle. Now, in order for that to happen, you've got to have it all organized for them to go. They just, think of this, the confusion it would have been if they would have left their houses a little bit after midnight. Well, it was nearly the full moon, but it's dark. How are you going to herd cattle? How are you going to herd sheep? How are you going to herd goats? You're not going to. Okay? And they baked on leavened cakes of dough, which they brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not stay, neither had they prepared any food for themselves for the journey. Now, the sojourning of the children of Israel in Egypt was 430 years. Now, how do you get to 430 years? I don't know if I have time to explain that today. Okay, I'll see if I can a little bit later. Okay. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, it was even on the selfsame day, all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night designated by Herbert Armstrong to keep. That's what some people say. Let's read it. It is a night to be much observed to the Lord in bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed by all the children of Israel in their generations. That's the next night after the Passover. So, here's the sequence right there in chapter 12. They took the lamb on the 10th. They kept it up until the 14th, and right after sunset, as Bein Arba'im began, they killed the lamb, got it ready, roasted it according to the instructions, and they were not to boil. Roast it. Okay? That becomes important when you get to Deuteronomy 16. Now then it gives the instructions for the Passover. Now, what is the first day of unleavened bread? What is this day especially set aside for? And the Jews don't even mention this. Okay? Chapter 13, let's read it. Chapter 13. Actually, the last verse of chapter 12, I have right under chapter 13. Came to pass in the very same day when the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt by their armies, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, sanctify all the firstborn, okay, to me, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, of man and of beast, it is mine. And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for the Lord brought you out from this place by the strength of his hand. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. On this day you are going out in the month of Abib. It shall be when the Lord shall bring you into the land of the Canaanites and so forth, that you shall keep this service in its month, chapter or verse 5. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, in the seventh day there shall be a feast unto the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. Verse 7, there shall no leaven be seen with you, nor shall there be leaven seen in any of your borders. Now, you think about unleavening your home for the days of unleavened bread. Think about how you would unleaven, say, the city of Hollister. What do you do with the leaven? Well, on the day portion of the 13th, they had special men coming around with disposals to take all the leaven, and then they would take and burn it before the 14th began. Now, I remember one man when I was down in Torrance as pastor there. He was a prospective member, and guess what he owned? A bakery. And he said, how do I keep the feast of unleavened bread? I said, you got a big problem. I said, consider this. Why don't you make specialty unleavened bread? So that's what he did, and he did quite well. Okay? All right, let's go on. Okay? Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, no leaven, and so forth. Verse 8, and this is what you shall tell your son in that day. This is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out from Egypt. Passover is commemorating passing over the firstborn. Now then, the firstborn are coming out. What does God want of that they're still alive, dedicated to him from that time forward? The ones who are born from that day forth would be dedicated to God with a sacrifice on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Jews missed the whole point of this. They don't understand that in Deuteronomy 16. Okay? Now, verse 9. It shall be a sign to you upon your hand and for a memorial between your eyes, for the Lord's law may be in your mouth, for with a strong hand the Lord brought you out of Egypt. Therefore you shall keep this law in its season from year to year. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of Canaan, as he swore to you, and to your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart unto the Lord all that opens the womb. And every firstborn that comes of any animal which you have, all the males shall be the Lord's. Now, what if it's a female? That was kept for observing the feast, to be eaten by them. Because you have firstborn all the males. What about the firstborn of females? Okay? Those were to be used, Deuteronomy 14, for the feast. The males, they were not to have sacrificed and eaten. That went to the priesthood. Okay? Now let's read on. And every firstborn of a donkey shall you redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among you, you shall redeem. And it shall be when your son asks you in time come, saying, what does this mean? You shall say to him, the Lord brought us out of the land of Egypt by the strength of his hand from the house of bondage. And it came to pass when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both firstborn of man and firstborn of animals. Therefore, I sacrifice all that opens the womb that are males. All the firstborn of my sons I redeem. So that's why they had all of these sacrifices on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Okay? All right. Now, where do we go from here? Let's go to Deuteronomy 16. I think we can handle that today. Now, Deuteronomy 16. Now, when I was researching all this out, Deuteronomy 16 by the Jews tell it this way. The Passover was changed from a domestic observant to a temple sacrifice. That is incorrect. Why? We'll see in a bit. We'll see. There's a verse which says, boil and what else? You shall take of the flock and of the herd. Have you ever heard of a Passover calf? Now, even the smallest calf in the world, if that were killed for the Passover sacrifice, could a household eat the whole thing from sunset until sunrise? I mean, that's a lot of meat. Okay? So, Deuteronomy 16, let's read it. Okay? Keep the month of Abib and observe the Passover to the Lord your God. Period. That's on the 14th. Okay? For in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. What day was that? The 15th, right? Okay? So you have the 2 days right here. And what was that night to be? The night to be much observed, right? Okay. Therefore, you shall sacrifice the Passover offering to the Lord your God of the flock and of the herd. Now, why is it called a Passover offering? Because they changed the name of unleavened bread to Passover, and to this day, they have 8 days of Passover, beginning with the 15th and ending on the 22nd. And what do they have in place of the Passover meal, since they can't sacrifice outside of the land of Israel? They have a Seder meal with what? A shank bone. Okay? And they call this the Passover. But it's not on the Passover day. And it's not the Passover of God. It is the Passover of the Jews. Because Numbers 9 shows they can't keep the Passover outside the geographical territory of Israel. So what did they do when they were out of the land? If they could get back by the second month, they could keep the Passover in the second month. But otherwise, they just kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread called the Passover wherever they were. Okay? But what was the sacrifice of the Passover to be? What did we read in Exodus 13? No. You redeem your sons. Okay? With a lamb. Redeem the unclean animal with a lamb. And the firstborn are given whole to the priesthood. Alive. You give it to them. Okay? Now, when they were in the land, you had Levitical cities and you had priestly cities. So when it came time, if they couldn't get to the temple, they would give it to the Levite, and the Levite would own it, or give it to the priest, and then it could be taken to the temple and sacrificed. But if they all went to the Jerusalem and the temple to keep the feast, which this is depicting, then they would bring the sacrifice to be given on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So they had a lot of sacrifices of the redemption of the firstborn. And those were called the Passover offerings because God passed over their firstborn on the Passover night. And this is a commemoration that God spared the firstborn and they left on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So let's read it here. Passover offering to the Lord your God of the flock and of the herd, in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. Okay? You shall eat no unleavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it. This shows what? They had many sacrifices during all 7 days of the feast, right? Could all the redemption sacrifices be given in 1 day? No. 7 days. Okay. The bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, and you shall remember the day that you came forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. There shall no leaven be seen with you in all your borders for 7 days. That's what we read in Exodus 13 with the dedication of the firstborn. Nor shall any flesh of your sacrifice in the first day at sunset remain all night until morning. Now, that sounds like the Passover, but it's not, because this offering was also a peace offering, and a peace offering had the same instruction. You can read it, peace offering. You're not to leave it over beyond the first day, okay? You shall not sacrifice the Passover offering within any of your gates which the Lord your God gives you. Okay? That's for the redemption. But the Passover sacrifice, that's different than the Passover offering. Passover sacrifice, if you lived within the border of Israel, you could keep the domestic Passover at home. Now, What if, we'll see this in a minute, what if you went to the area of Jerusalem to keep the Passover and the feast? What happened there? Okay, we'll cover that in just a bit. Now let's go on. Verse 7, you shall boil and eat it. Now, back in Exodus 12 of the Passover sacrifices, it says what? You shall not boil. So this cannot refer to the Passover sacrifice. The Passover offering for the redemption of the firstborn, you were to boil. Okay? Now, when I read that, in searching out this, I was reading in bed, and I had a Hebrew interlinear, okay? So I was reading the English. Now, the King James says, roast. So I was reading it, and this said, boil. So, hey, I got out the concordance and looked it up, and sure enough, this word is for boil. So this could not be the Passover sacrifice. But it could be the redemption of the firstborn. Okay? You shall boil and eat it in the place which the Lord your God shall choose, and in the morning you shall go to your tents. Now, what does this tell you? When could they make this offering? On the Passover day, and then they would boil it, and it will go into the night. Okay? So what happened? On the night to be much observed, what did they do? They stayed up all night. Think of that. They stayed up all night. Now, why did they do that? Because when they left Ramses at sunset, they went to Succoth, and they were up until the wee hours of the morning. Okay? So here it is. Okay? And in the morning, you shall turn and go to your tents. Those who were there keeping that at Jerusalem, they would come and they would have tent cities. They would set it up. How many, I don't think anyone here remembers Big Sandy and keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. They had little booths down there and lots of tent areas and camper areas and so forth. Well, that's what this was like. See? I mean, they had thousands and thousands of people. And in addition to all the food they were eating, you know, they had a lot of flagons of wine as well. Okay? Then he says, 6 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Now, what does that mean? After the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, how many days are left?
Six.
It's the only place in the whole Bible that says 6 days. But it means 6 days after the first. Okay? And on the seventh day, there it is, there shall be a solemn assembly to the Lord your God, and you shall do no work. All right? Now then, I may go over just a little bit. Let's come to Mark 14. Now, this is why you need the Passover book to read it. Okay? Mark 14. Now, during Jesus' day, there was the temple sacrifice of the Passover lamb by the Pharisees and Sadducees. There were also the Sadducees who kept the domestic feast in Bethany, where they lived, and on the Mount of Olives, which was the mount east of the temple, and on into Bethany and Bethphage, they had little tent cities. And there, a lot of the domestic Passovers were kept right there. Now, when we come to Mark 14, let's come here to verse 12. And we need to ask a question. Verse 12. And on the first day of the unleavened, that's a literal translation, when they were killing the Passover lambs. Now, this presents a problem. What is the problem? If this were the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, then Jesus kept the 15th Passover. But this is not referring to the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This is referring to the first day that is unleavened, which is the Passover day. Okay? Now then, here are the disciples with Jesus coming. They're up on the Mount of Olives, and they look down and they see all of these tents of the pilgrims who are there. They were not killing these lambs at the temple. They did that the next afternoon. So they were killing the Passover lambs. Now, Jesus didn't tell the disciples where they were going to keep the Passover. Now, why didn't he do that? Because he didn't want Judas Iscariot to know where it was. Now, Judas Iscariot was with him because Judas Iscariot had already promised to betray him. So, let's read and see what Jesus did. When they were killing the Passover lambs, they could see this going on. That's right after sunset, okay? His disciples said to him, "Where do you desire that we go so that we may prepare, that you may eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city and you will meet a man carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him." This was all set up. The angels were guiding everything that was going on. You tell them, go into the city. You're going to meet a man carrying a pitcher of water. Well, Jesus knew that that was already being set up by the angels. Okay? Follow him. And whatever house, note, Jesus kept a domestic Passover in a house. Whatever house he shall enter, say to the master of the house that the teacher says, "Where's the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" And he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. There, prepare. Now, what do you suppose probably happened? The master of the house killed the lamb, skinned it, was all ready to roast. So they brought it up into the room where they probably had a place to roast it. They prepared the unleavened bread. They set everything ready to go for the Passover. Disciples went away, and when they came into the city, they found it exactly as he said to them, and they prepared the Passover. Now, when even had come, okay, now think of this. What does this refer to? between the two evenings. Okay? So this was the latter part of between the two evenings. This was right when it was starting to get dark. So, the lamb had been roasted, everything all ready, and Jesus comes with the rest of the disciples. Okay? Now, verse 18. And they sat and were eating, and Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, one of you shall betray me, even he who is eating with me." Okay? Then we go through the whole thing with the Passover. So, this tells us something, this whole section tells us very important. Number one, Jesus kept a domestic Passover in a house. He did not tell the disciples, go to the temple and get a lamb sacrificed. He said, go into the city and follow a man and tell him that the master desires to have the Passover here. Everything will be ready. Okay? Now, Judas didn't know where they were to keep the Passover until he got there, because Jesus didn't want the Passover upset with the arrest during the time they were eating the Passover, because he had to institute the new covenant Passover. So there's a lot more that goes with it. So if you haven't read all of this in the Passover book, get out the one that you have, and if you don't have it, order it. We'll get it to you right away, because this will help unravel all of the misunderstandings, mistranslations, and trouble that's wrapped up with the Passover that different ones to this day cannot get resolved. So I hope they're able to follow along with all of this and understand what we covered today. So, we'll have all the things for the Passover and unleavened bread ready for you, and we will get it out to you before the beginning of the Passover.
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.